Christmas tune, right, in church. So, well, today is a very special day in a couple different ways. It's the first Sunday of the month when we'll be hearing the Serving in God's Diner theme and hearing about some of the stories that our Sunday school kids are learning so that they can also hear about them in worship and hear what God says about them in a little different way. Today is also All Saints Day, the day in the church year when we remember those who have gone before us, those who maybe taught us the faith, who both paved the way and showed us the way, those who have died in the faith. I just love to think about what that phrase means, to die in the faith. Two special things, and two things I think are very well connected today. As we think about the saints of the world, especially those who are near and dear to us as a congregation and us individually, I want to tell a few stories about love, faith, family, and dining. My grandmother, Beulah Winona Stotts, how's that for a name, was born about 100 years ago on a farm in the middle of Iowa. She was the only girl, and she always wanted a sister. So as the only girl, I think she learned to kind of be a little mother her whole life, always caring and fretting over others. She had five children. First one was a girl, and she was determined to have a sister for my aunt. So she had three more boys until she had another girl. I share a birthday with my grandma, actually, but I don't have any real memories of her because she died when I was just a baby. Beulah was raised a Methodist, but converted to be a Lutheran when she married my grandpa. And I think a mark of the Methodists, at least at that time, I don't know about today, but was that they did not like alcohol. And so she wouldn't allow any in the house. My grandpa had to drink in the barn. But I do know that she loved her Lord, and she also loved to cook. Her cooking is still pretty legendary in my family. Keep in mind that she was cooking for a farm family. So she got to use lots of butter, salt, before we knew all these things were bad for us. Nice, good, fattening stuff. I've unfortunately inherited her love for sweets, her body composition, and her metabolism. Thanks, Grandma. But there are a couple other things I've inherited from her. And one is this. Nice, heavy cast iron skillet that my grandma used for years and years to probably prepare hundreds and hundreds of Sunday fried chicken dinners. We're talking like chicken fresh from the farm, too. I use it for much less ambitious endeavors, like frozen dinners from Costco. But every time I pull it out of the cupboard, I think of her. And I wish I could have known her and eaten some of those famous meals. But I do also think about how someday I may get to know her, or at least be with her in heaven, eating at God's table. I do love to hear about her and the stories my family tells, and I know all the good food and love and prayers she showered on her family when she was alive are somehow a part of my story too. Plus, we still have her great pancake recipe, and my dad makes those today. I have kind of a weird story to tell you, that the closest I ever felt to my grandma was on the night of my first communion. When I came to sit at God's table for the first time, I felt closer to her than I ever had, or that I had before or have since. Because we know that there are two sides to God's table. The side that we sit on here today, and another side where all the saints who have died in Christ sit, receiving God's grace, sharing in that feast of love that has no end. On the night of my first communion, I wore the second thing I've inherited from my grandma, and that's this ring, her birthstone ring, that has the five birthstones of my dad and my aunts and uncles. And I always thought it was pretty special that I got to have this ring because it helps me have another connection to her that I never got to have. When I wear it, I remember how blessed and lucky I am to have had the opportunities that I do. Because even just 100 years ago, my grandma growing up didn't get to go to college, didn't get to travel. She wouldn't even drive outside of Boone, Iowa. So when I wear it, I am reminded of all the blessings I have, and one of which is being able to stand here before you as your pastor, too. One thing that I love about being a pastor and going to church is all the hymns, and today we sing one of my favorites for all the saints. My grandma also loved to sing, and that's something that many people in my family still enjoy. I love the imagery of our hymn today that talks about us going through life in the battle of faith. From God is our one true light in the darkness, to that distant triumph song that reaches our ears just when we need it, to those countless hosts streaming in the pearly gates. It reminds me of another saint from Grace who lived those words every inch of her life. And maybe some of you, a lot of you probably know Ann Schultz, but some of you don't. And I always think of Ann on this day as well. Ann died a couple years ago, and she was probably the most loving and giving person, faithful person that you would ever know. She was always caring for others. Even before she knew that cancer was going to claim her life, she was always giving things away. Every time I'd visit her, she'd have something else to give me. One of the many things she gave me were serving dishes like this one, platters that I get out and use if I'm having company or something like that, or to serve on. And it's pretty fitting that Anne left a serving dish because she was always serving others. It was something she did very well. But one of the more frustrating things, though, about loving Anne was that while she was great at serving others, she was not great at being served. And I think a lot of us can probably relate to that. When I would visit her, in the months where her cancer was eating away at her body, she would still serve me. She'd apologize for not having food to offer me even when she couldn't eat. And in fact, I have to confess a bad pastor moment, that often it was Anne comforting me in those visits. She had no problem with her approaching death, but I, however, was not quite so ready for her to die. And isn't that the case for so many of us, as our loved ones slip into death? And I know you guys are getting really sick of me quoting Anne Lamott, but I just have to again. One of my most favorite quotes is this. She says, "Our preacher Veronica said recently that this is life's nature, that lives and hearts get broken. Those of people we love, those of people we'll never meet." She said that the world sometimes feels like the waiting room of the emergency ward, and that we who are more or less okay for now need to take the tenderest possible care of the more wounded people in the waiting room until the healer comes. "You sit with people," she said. "You bring them juice and graham crackers." This is one of my visions for ministry, that we are here as God's people to sit with each other, to help each other in little ways, to bring juice and graham crackers or casseroles or prayers or whatever it is we do to help each other out. But we do none of this before something else happens first. The only way we can truly serve others in the name of God is if we are first served by God. We can't truly love in God's name unless we know that love for ourselves. We have to sit at God's table before we can serve in God's diner. It's like when you're on an airplane and they tell you to first secure your own oxygen mask before you help others. It's like trying to give away all your food to the hungry, but you are not eating yourself. It's like we pray each week, "On earth as in heaven, and forgive us our sins as we forgive others." What we do now here is practice for living in God's kingdom. We have to know God's grace for ourselves before we can share it with others. God invites us to sit at his table here today. Way back in the time when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God invited them to have a quick meal, roasted lamb, eaten with shoes on, staff in hand, so that they're ready to go. Eaten quickly, kind of the original fast food. Many of us can probably relate, eating on the run. This meal, the blood taken from the lamb, were a sign for others that God is in this house and that they share their food and table with the Lord. After they ate, the plague came, and so did their freedom, finally. And again, 2,000 years ago, God's Son invited us to another table. Again, this meal took place right before an event that changed the world. At the festival that commemorated God freeing his people from slavery, Jesus gathered his friends for a meal. He shared the bread and the wine, his body and blood, and the very next day he gave that body and blood over on the cross. But he left us with that unending invitation to his table to share in his body and blood as we remember him. Our loved ones leave us with remembrances of them that are often tied to meals, whether it's dishes we've inherited or recipes or special traditions. I'm sure you all have been thinking about those too, and as we approach the holidays, those become very present in our mind. Sharing food is a holy thing, whether it's at this table or at our table at home or at God's table. Take a moment now to thank God for feeding our bodies and our souls. Say a prayer for those who don't have food today, and lift up those beautiful saints who've helped you nourish your faith and who now take their place at God's table in heaven, knowing that we will all be there together again someday. Amen.